Good morning, everyone. Well, what an absolutely amazing time of worship that was. We're a little bit undone here. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, the only wise God, be glory and honour forever and ever. Amen. Well, it's great to be together on the top floor. Obviously, you're not here in person, but we will be meeting here again, not too far away, I'm sure. But we're going to hear the word of the Lord this morning. The Good Shepherd is going to shepherd us. I hope you've got your Bible ready. If you haven't, run and get it, because we need to not only hear the word, but have it before our eyes. Proverb tells us, don't let the word depart from your eyes. It's really good to be able to see it as well as hear it. Well, I'm just going to start with a bit of testimony. The other night, I just got before the Lord. And you know when you just want to receive a bit of comfort from him? I just wanted to hear and see a few milk scriptures, really, comfort scriptures. And I just heard to go to Psalm 91. And that kind of just surprised me because it isn't necessarily my go-to psalm. I have some go-tos. Milk scriptures that are my favourites, as I'm sure you do as well. But I heard to go to Psalm 91. I'm going to start there this morning with verse 1. And it says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I just stopped. I didn't go further. I just stayed with that one verse. And I meditated on that. I thought about it. I thought about what it means to abide and kind of live under the shadow of the Almighty. And I tend to normally use the New King James, and there's a word wealth thing underneath that gives you the definition of Almighty. And the Hebrew word for Almighty is El Shaddai, which means all-sufficient God, eternally capable of being all that his people need. I love that. We abide under the shadow of the all-sufficient God, the one who is eternally capable of being all that we need. So I was in a happy place with that. And, you know, just how amazing is that? But then the thought came to me. At times, I allow myself to abide under the shadow of other things, negative things. And as I am sure you do as well. And you'll have heard this phrase, I'm sure it's quite a common phrase that people say. Well, I've lived under the shadow of that for years. Meaning, the threat of that, or the fear of something. You know, history repeating itself. A sickness, a distress, or some kind of suffering happening in the future. Like a dark storm cloud that hovers over and threatens trouble ahead. And these shadows speak, don't they? They speak of loss, they speak of failure, they speak of things going wrong. And the thoughts bring feelings. You feel shaky, your heart starts to race, you get a knot in your stomach. You know, all these kind of physical reactions to the thoughts that are producing feelings. Bottom line, you feel terrible. When we're abiding under the shadow of something negative, we feel terrible. And the Lord says over and over through Scripture, fear not. Fear not, for I am with you. He said to Joshua, didn't he? Be strong and very courageous, for I am with you wherever you go. And I just want you to receive that personally this morning. Be strong and very courageous, for I am with you wherever you go, abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. But in life, we face scary things at times, things we want to run from, things we want to shrink back from. And one of the negatives of this lockdown is that people have kind of lost confidence relationally. People who ordinarily are quite happy and relaxed to be around people are suddenly feeling a bit nervous at the thought of being around people again. But let me tell you, the Lord will help us with that. I believe it'll just be like riding a bike. We'll get back on and discover, I have missed this. I love this. I love being around people, gathered together. But we all face different fears, you know. That might not be an issue for you. But we all face different fears. And we need to bear with one another. My fears may not be what you fear. Your fear may not be what the person you live with fears. But let's bear with one another. Let's not look down on one another for feeling fearful about certain things. You know, irritated. We need to encourage one another. God's for you. He's with you. Don't shrink back. Don't let feelings stop you or divert you. Feelings can be such a joy, can't they? But they can also be such a torment. They are never a reliable guide. We have to hear his voice. We've got to make that absolutely brilliant decision. I refuse to be led by my feelings. No matter how extreme they feel, wean ourselves off of feelings and listen for the shepherd's voice. Because Satan wants us to feel fear and act on it. Shrink back. Live small, diminished lives. Because that's what fear does. It causes you just to retreat like the tortoise back into the shell. And I want you to turn with me to Hebrews 10, verse 38. Okay, and it says, "Now the just shall live by faith, or the righteous shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, the Lord says, my soul has no pleasure in him or her." God's not happy when we pull back in fear or for any other reason, because it shows we're not trusting him, and also it puts us under the influence of the enemy. But verse 39 says, "We are not of those who draw back to perdition or destruction, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul." Oh, happy day. Lord, you are with me. I'm abiding under your almighty shadow. I'm not going to fear any evil. I'm not going to fear any trouble ahead, not today and not tomorrow. Faith in his almightiness saves our souls. It saves your mind from racing and overworking. It saves your emotions from so much distress and anguish. It saves your will from making bad decisions, because in that kind of stressy place, we get pushed into making decisions that take us from bad to worse. We've all done that. Let's live and learn. But we don't just need faith for the big things, do we? We need faith for the little things. And I want to give you a definition of dread. Dread is expecting a negative experience in the future, whether it's this afternoon, tomorrow, next week, or down the line. Expecting a negative experience is up ahead. And we can dread all sorts of things. I'll be honest with you, I saw the forecast this week, the weather forecast. I started to dread Wednesday and Thursday because I do not like hot weather. Don't like it, never have, you know. And so I bought myself this ice machine. I got it running and running and running, filling my freezer with ice, my kind of coping mechanism. We can dread cleaning the house, mowing the lawn, homeschooling, actual school, you know, that just that sense of here we go again, this is going to be awful. And we need to make up our minds. I am not going to dread anything, not anything. I'm not going to dread work. I'm not going to dread managing the kids over the summer, what to do. I'm not going to dread the queues. You know, whatever your thing is, I'm not going to dread that. I'm not going to expect a negative experience. Because, you know, if the enemy can get us kind of negative and complaining about the everyday stuff of life, we will be negative and complaining all the time. And, of course, we can dread more serious things. I've shared with you before how over a year ago now, I identified six fairly big things that I was dreading, anxious about, got that knot in my stomach about when I thought about them. And I knew I needed to hear the shepherd's voice, and I got before the Lord, did a Philippians 4:6, presented my requests, you know, and I asked him to speak to me about each individual thing, and I received a promise for each individual thing, promise of provision, of protection, of wisdom. And I wrote those promises down on a postcard, and I keep that postcard in my kitchen. And whenever I feel a bit anxious about them, which happens from time to time, I go back to the promise. I just kind of get it before me, remind myself, remind the Lord, thank him that he's faithful. And you know, all of those things were future things. Were. Some of them have been and gone, and I have ticked them off joyfully and said, Lord, you were faithful. You did what you promised. It does us so much good. We sing it in a song, but you know, we need to do it in reality in life. Look back and see he's faithful so that we can look ahead believing he is able. And Jesus says, he says this short thing to us that is so life-changing if we act on it. Do not worry about tomorrow. Do not, fear not. Don't worry about tomorrow. If we will not worry about tomorrow, we will save ourselves a lot of anxiety today. And my gosh, we need saving from it. We need to go to our Heavenly Father and get bread today. That's how he taught us to pray, didn't he? Daily bread. Go and get his grace for today, or whatever it is that you need, go today. And tomorrow, go again and get what you need for the day tomorrow. But don't worry about tomorrow. Focus on today. Live by faith in him today. We can't live by faith in him tomorrow. Today, we just got to take a day at a time and live by faith in him today. He knows how we're made. He knows how we work best. And it is going to him daily to get what we need. Now I want to talk about a common problem or a common fear that can affect all of us daily. And that is living under the shadow of what other people think. Caring too much. Allowing it to affect us negatively. Caring or kind of being bothered, if I can put it like that, bothered about what other people think. And you know, sometimes it's imagined. It's kind of what we think they think. I think if we were to go to them, I mean, I've done this in reality. If you go to them and say, are you thinking this? And they say, no, never thought that. Come on, the enemy gets us playing mind games. So it may be what they think in reality, or it may be what they think in our imagination. But either way, we shouldn't be bothered about what other people think. Care too much, allow it to affect us negatively. I want you to turn with me to John chapter 12. The word trains us and equips us to live life well. We need to be in it daily, receiving what we need, because he liberates us through his word. And it says here, John 12, verse 42, nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. They loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. They were scared to confess their faith in Jesus because they thought they'd lose approval. They thought they'd lose respect. They thought they'd lose popularity. They loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. And let me tell you, that's a very dangerous place to be in. Because what happens is, by default, you give them control over you. They may know nothing about it. But loving what they think, caring too much about what they think, gives them influence and control over you. Like a hamster on a wheel, you're kind of working really hard, running forward to get to the top, to get approval, to get adulation, praise, respect, whatever it is you're wanting. You get to the top only to be hit by another disappointment and discover, like that hamster on the wheel, you are on your way back down again. It's a vicious circle, and it leads to all kinds of problems and trouble, wrong decisions, wrong behavior, something the Bible actually calls covetousness. Wanting what other people have got. Envy, greed, buying more than we should. Spending more on any one item than we should. Better car, better house, better this, better that. It's a scheme of the enemy that appeals to our flesh, that gets us into debt, that gets us into relational strife, all sorts of trouble. And I want you to turn with me back to Hebrews. Hebrews 13 and verse 5 says this. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He is enough for his people. But let me talk practically. He's not against us having things. He is against things having us. If money is on the throne instead of Jesus, you will be stressed and miserable. If money's leading your life, influencing and controlling the decisions you make, you will be stressed and miserable. Psalm 16 verse 4 says, their sorrows shall be multiplied who chase after another god. That's not an addition, that's multiplication, like a virus, you know, this R rate, just boom, sorrows multiplying. And money is a harsh boss, a harsh taskmaster. It's always cracking the whip and driving. And I was listening to an old album that I have in my car. It's a Stephen Curtis Chapman album. And a song came on and I thought, my gosh, that just about kind of sums up what I want to say. And it's called Busy Man. And I want to read some of the lyrics to you. It says this, hear the story about a busy man. I knew a man named Billy. He's got almost everything. 3 stories, 2 cars, 1 swimming pool, and some broken parts of an empty heart. And I'm thinking, Billy, 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 you're a very busy man, but you're running with your eyes closed. You could be missing life all along the way, and you never even know it. You're a busy man, Billy. You're a busy man, just too busy. You got a lot of nice things there, Billy, but they've cost you more than you know. What's it really worth? Can you tell me? If you're gaining the whole world, but you're losing your soul. Words of Jesus. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and yet loses his soul? And this is what the enemy does. He gets us running with our eyes closed, driven. The God of this age blinds us to the most important thing, which is relationship with Jesus, hearing his voice, and letting him lead us in peace. The God of this age drives us in stress that causes all sorts of horrible repercussions in our lives. And there's only one thing to do, if that's you. Stop. Stop. Get off that wheel. Get before God and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I've put other things before you. I'm sorry I've been driven. I'm sorry for not trusting you. You know, sometimes the reason we work so hard, you know, kind of the root, if you dig down, drill down, the root of it actually is because we're not trusting God for our future. Now, I know we all need to work, you know, unless you're retired, we all need to work. But if our working hard causes Jesus to topple off the throne from first position down, 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 down our list of priorities, things will not go well. And so you just need to say sorry. Sorry, Lord, I want to do life differently. I don't want to live another day, eyes closed, missing life, defeated, miserable, stressed. In the words of the song, what is it really worth, can you tell me? If you're gaining the whole world and yet losing your soul. If that is you, do not delay. Please, I'm pleading with you, do not delay. Do it today. Get right with God. Ask him to teach you how to do life differently. Matthew 11, verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, Jesus says. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. You know, whenever I sit with the Lord, I always have pen and paper because I talk, but I also listen and I want to record what he tells me. Write it down. You know, the things we hear from the Lord, we're a sheep, we hear his voice. The things we hear from the Lord enable us to work smarter, not harder. You know, Proverbs 6, Verse 3 says, commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. Just the other day, I had this thought came to me, because I've prayed this. You may not hear necessarily in that moment, but then it almost comes to you like a thought out of the blue. But when you pray like that, you commit yourself and your works to the Lord. The thought comes maybe later in the day or maybe the next day. I need to do that. I need to do this. And this thought came to me, do you know what? I don't need to be doing that today. I'm going to put that off tomorrow. And the plan that I had for tomorrow, I'm going to do that the next day. Such a simple thing. It was only a small thing, but let me tell you, it was pressure relieving. It really kind of helped me out. And he will teach us to live life lightly. You know, he's a good shepherd. He's a wise shepherd. And if we will listen, he will show us how to work smarter, not harder. Come out from under that harsh taskmaster the God of this age is. And you know, the other thing is, well, go to read verses 5 and 6 again of Hebrews 13. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? You know, we're to fear God, not other people. And a right fear of God sets us free from a wrong fear of people. When Jesus is really Lord, in reality, not just the theory, in reality, you're listening to his voice, allowing him to lead. It's liberating. You get free. It's like shackles off. You get free from caring too much about what people think. You get secure. You get happy and relaxed in your own skin, no matter what colour that is. You know, if God is for me, who can be against me? Everybody else may be turning left, but if you hear the Lord to turn right, you do it with a smile on your face, and you're not afraid to do life different. So let's not be like those rulers in John 12:42, believing in Jesus, but scared to admit it. You know, scared of losing respect or popularity. Church on a Sunday, but closet Christian midweek. Jesus said, whoever confesses me before men, I will confess before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me, I will deny. It's time to be salt and light, isn't it? Not afraid of what people think, not afraid of offending, bold about our faith in Jesus. And personally, what I've discovered is the more I share my faith, the bolder I get. I'll be honest with you. I used to kind of have this attitude about witnessing, that if I spoke about believing in Jesus, I'd kind of get the same reaction to saying, I believe in UFOs. You know, I get that kind of raised eyebrow and step back. And it's just not like that. People are open. People, actually, some of them are quite interested. And what I find is the more I talk about my faith in Jesus, the more natural it kind of feels, the more comfortable I get. And the enemy wants us to shrink back and live small and stay quiet. You know, let's not offend anybody. But Jesus says, I'll put my great big Holy Spirit in you. Never forget that. Use what I've invested in you. You know, the parable of the talents in Matthew 25, it is a story about boldness and fear. Two of them did something with the gift, made it grow. Third one was fearful and hid it, buried it. And we can bury the Holy Spirit, you know, out of sight, out of mind. Bury the gifts and the talents that he's given us. And every one of us has a call. Every one of us has an anointing from God, a ministry that we can give to others. Every one of us can encourage. And my gosh, now I would say more than ever, encouragement is such a vital ministry that we all need to receive and we all need to give. And we need to stop focusing on what we can't do and start doing what we can do. Pastor Judith and I went round to a couple's house this week to the garden, and they were just telling us how a member of their Connect group had bought them some beautiful flowers and a card. And you know, they were just so encouraged by that. It given them a lift. And so we need to pray, Lord, What can I do to make somebody else's life better, brighter? You know, it may only be a small thing, but what can I do? You know, in the church, in the world, but I was reading Galatians last night and it says, as you have opportunity, let us do good to all, but especially to the household of faith. You know, pray. Pray beyond yourself. Pray beyond your family, your kind of normal boundaries. Pray out. I'm sure some of you do, but let's all just be thinking out. Praying for others. And maybe just send them a text or a WhatsApp or give them a call. But we need to do this Psalm 91, verse 1. Live with God. Dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Stay under the shadow of the Almighty, our all-sufficient God, the one who is eternally capable of being all that we need. Receive from him so that we have got more than enough to give away. And let's make up our minds. I really want to encourage / challenge you. Let's make up our minds. I will not live with dread. I'm not going to live under the shadow of anything. I'm not going to dread anything. The big stuff or the little stuff. I'm not going to dread doing the dishes. I'm not going to dread mowing the lawn. I'm not going to dread going to work. I'm not going to dread coming home from work. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. I will fear no bad experience, for you are with me. And when you feel that kind of apprehension, that sinking feeling, just say out loud, I will not dread this. I will not dread anything. Not anything to do with work. Not anything to do with finances. Not anything to do with home. Not anything to do with health. I will not fear. I don't know how many times in the Bible the Lord says, fear not. But I know it's a lot, because he knew we would be prone to it. But he doesn't just say, fear not, does he? He says, fear not, because I am with you. In the prayer meeting, Pastor Judith went through Psalm 23. Even though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And sometimes we go through things. Sometimes we go through unbelievably difficult things. But you know, if we go through with him, we will be okay. He upholds us. Psalm 94, I think it's verse 18, says, if my foot slips, your mercy, O Lord, upholds me. And sometimes we can be going through and we're going through okay, but we feel like we start to slip. We start to stumble. But his mercy upholds us. Not because we are good, because he is good. So let's not live under the shadow of negative lies, negative threats. Frankly, we can't afford to. They cost us too much. And if you catch yourself living under the shadow of anything negative, just say, I will not dread anything. I refuse to fear. Thank you, Lord. You are with me. I want to finish with the Amplified version of Psalm 91, verse 1. It says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe can withstand. Love that. Now I want to, maybe you've thought about this before. It was a fresh thought for me as I was meditating on this verse. If I want to live under the shadow of someone, fixed under the shadow of someone, I have to stay close. Think about Jesus walking around sunny Israel. If you wanted to stay under his shadow, in his shadow, you would have to stay close. So I want to encourage you, stay close to Jesus this week. Talk to him. Listen to him. Stay conscious of him. Live to please him. Don't get back on that hamster's wheel of wanting to working hard to please other people. Do not forget that phrase. I'm not going to dread anything. Say it out loud. Say it 10 times a day if you need to. I'm not dreading the little things, the big things. I'm not going to dread the little things. If you get that old familiar feeling, here we go again. This is going to be awful. Just take yourself in hand and say, no, I'm not going to dread anything. I abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Like Joshua, he is with me wherever I go. the all-sufficient God, the one who is eternally capable of being all that I need in this, in that, in whatever it is you're facing. Let's pray together. Oh Lord, you're amazing. You are our almighty God, our El Shaddai. Thank you that you've promised never will you leave us, never will you forsake us. You are our helper, Lord. And we fix our minds on you today, but Lord, we pray, help us to fix our minds on you every day, to live mindful of you. Thank you, Lord, you keep in perfect peace him whose mind is fixed on you, because he trusts in you. They trust in you. Lord, I pray that we will be people who trust in our God. Lord, that we will have you on the throne and not allow you to be pushed off by anything else. Lord, I pray that you will deliver us from the push and the pressure of the God of this age that drives, that takes life, promises everything but doesn't deliver. And if there is any sort of delivery, it's so temporary and short term and then takes so much more. Stress, health, relational issues. Lord, I pray, teach us this, your ways this week. Help us live under your shadow, I pray. And we just thank you that you're not a man that you should lie, that you provide good things for your people, that you provide protection for your people, that you provide wisdom for your people. Those who ask, receive. Those who seek, find. Those who knock, the door's already being opened. Help us live by faith in you, Jesus, in reality, one day at a time, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, let it be. I have a message for you. Pastor Judith has just reminded me. And that is next weekend, we have the great blessing of having Stacey Reeser from the Ramp Manchester speaking to us. So please tune in. And she's going to bring the word of the Lord to us, which I know is going to be great and full of spirit and life. All right, God bless you, and we'll see you soon.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaithsw.com.